I suppose if you're here today and you're new to this Christianity thing, all this might sound a bit odd, talking about blood, bleeding, dying, suffering, a cross. We call it Good Friday, and yet we don't even know how to talk to one another about it. Is it appropriate to say Happy Good Friday? Is it appropriate to talk about the wonderful cross? Isn't it a terrible cross? How do we understand? How can we grasp? How can we live in light of and apply the mysteries that we mark today? I know it's incomprehensible to many, and it's troubling even to those of us that know Christ and have at least some understanding. The Bible dwells in this tension. It feeds it. If you go to the end of the Bible, end of God's big story in the book of Revelation, you'll find there that John receives a vision of the end time and sees the powerful one who is able to encompass all of history, who is finally worthy to receive all revelation and to wrap everything up. And he is referred to there as the lion from the tribe of Judah. But then in the very next phrase, he's also called like a lamb, and a lamb who was standing, a lamb as though he had been slain. How do we understand this? Is he a lamb? Is he a lion? Is he slain? Is he bloodied? Is he victorious? How do we walk in this imagery? And how do we understand the imagery? Where does it come from? And even more important, what does it have to do with us today? What does it have to do with us right now in the 21st century, in the middle of a Friday afternoon in Houston, Texas? What's this have to do with us? Well, most of us know that the imagery is based upon, or it's linked to, the revelation of God. We have considered some of the texts today. In fact, as Seth already mentioned, most of us believe that if you go back into the garden, you'll find the first act that God graciously did for his people who had sinned was he shed blood. And in shedding the blood of animals, he took their skins and fashioned clothing and covering for the nakedness of Adam and Eve as they had fallen into sin. And you find bloodshed, you find the death of animals, you find a sense of substitution, that there was one who had died for one who was guilty. You go to the story on Mount Moriah that we've read about today, where Abraham, the father of the faithful, was grievously tested by the Lord. He was willing to offer his one and only, his unique son, and yet he was willing to do so, believing that God could even raise him from the dead. Did you notice that? He told his servants, he said, "We will go and worship and we will return." He had confidence in God that God would provide. And indeed, Isaac's question is pertinent. Where is the lamb? Where is the lamb that is worthy? Where is the lamb that can cover guilt? Where is an animal whose blood can somehow cover the sin of our hearts, the sin of our lives, the sin of the world? The concept is surely linked in Egypt with the Passover lamb. As little families, little children and families would adopt a little lamb, spotless and precious, and much like kittens, lambs are cute. Yeah, little lambs. I'm not sure about sheep, but lambs are beautiful and they're cute. And so the children would live with the lamb and love on it for just a matter of days, and then they would have to see in a gruesome fashion. They would have to see the life of that lamb taken and its blood shed. Necessary that their guilt might be covered as the death angel comes through Egypt. You also go back to Sinai, and you see there, all through the wilderness, you see the sin offering, as we've seen in Leviticus, as we've worked through the Bible, and you see the ongoing offerings for sin, and then the once a year on the Day of Atonement, the ultimate offering for sins, the sins of the people, with the scapegoat being sent out of the camp, and with the blood of the sin offering poured upon the altar. And you find that there is a question, where is the lamb? You come to the tabernacle in the wilderness, and then ultimately in the promised land, the tabernacle is moved from place to place, and then God allowed Solomon to build the mighty temple, and there you have the majestic temple of God. And every day there were sin offerings, and once a year, again on the Day of Atonement, there were lambs that were offered, and these lambs somehow could cover sin, but ultimately never take it away. And the question remains, where is the lamb? You even go to the prophet's chamber in the Old Testament as Isaiah is writing about the suffering servant, and he acknowledges that his suffering and his troubles are like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, like a sheep that's taken to its shearers, like one who suffers, one who is innocent, one who suffers for another. And the question is, where is the lamb? And I wonder if it's even possible that there's a linkage in the fact that one day, fulfilling a prophecy about a town named Bethlehem, there was one born, and yet he wasn't born in a normal place. The text implies he was born in a stable where animals are born. And he was laid in a manger, a feeding trough for animals. Because the question remains, where is the lamb? Where is the lamb that is capable, that is worthy, that is able to cover our sin for good forever? And then you go to beside the River Jordan as you see a young crazy preacher named John the Baptist, and he looks up and he points at his cousin and he looks at him and he says in the ears of everyone, he says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Where is the Lamb? And finally, you go to a hill outside Jerusalem called Calvary or Golgotha, the place of a skull. Crucifixion was an awful, torturous, cruel, inhumane process. Evil men will likely never invent a more painful, humiliating, gruesome way to kill. And there hung one who was innocent. There, the same one who had been pointed to and who had been called the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. There he hung between heaven and earth, the perfect man, representing us and our humanity, and yet adequate as a sacrifice because he was not only man, but he was God. And there the question is forever answered, where is the Lamb? And Abraham's conviction that God himself would provide a lamb, a sacrifice, was fulfilled. This sin offering, this blood, this suffering, all of it that seems so morbid, so macabre, all of it that seems so out of place in cultured society, it means something. It's a message that God is sending. This is what our sin is. This is what guilt is about. We read a little bit about this in the book of Hebrews chapter 10. If you care to turn there, you can, or you can consider it as I read it for you. In Hebrews 10, the author of Hebrews had a great understanding of all of this as he linked the sufferings and the troubles and all of the blood and all of the sacrifices and everything from the Old Testament and the Old Covenant, and he links it and sums it up in Christ. He talks about that beginning verse 11 of Hebrews 10. He says, "Every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins." And if you allow me, it seems to me that every priest after a while would say, "Where is the lamb that is adequate to take away the sins of the world?" Over and over and over again. But the writer of Hebrews goes on. He says in verse 12, "But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified." The writer goes on in verse 19 and says, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, that our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." Where is the Lamb? He hung up on a cross. This is the reason Good Friday means so much. This is the reason we talk about Good Friday. Even though it was the most evil act of history, we call it Good Friday. Even though it was a terrible cross, because it was also a wonderful cross. Because it was there that God's wrath was satisfied. It was there that God was pleased to see a sacrifice adequate to cover your sin, to cover mine. See, the issue really is sin. I was thinking as we were worshiping, as we were singing, that it really does come down, when you think about the cross, when you think about Good Friday, when you think about the sufferings of Jesus, it comes down really to two issues. If you want to understand what really was happening on the cross, it comes down to two issues. Our guilt and God's love. Our guilt and God's love. Some of us think, well, our sin's not really that much of an issue. We're not as bad as a lot of other people. And taken on the face of it, as far as comparing ourselves to others, that may be true. You can always find someone worse off than you are. But the truth is, sin is a problem, and sin is specific manifestations of the problem. Sin can be summed up as basically a selfishness that orients all of reality to ourselves. That's basically what sin is. Every sin essentially says to God, you're not God, I am. Every selfish motive, every callous word, every yielding to temptation is essentially a rebellion. It's a revolution within our hearts where we once again take control and where we say, we won't have God rule over us. It marginalizes the Creator, God Himself. In other words, it ignores the first words of God's law, have no other gods before me. And every sin says, no, I'll be my own God. This is the reason it's so serious. You don't think your sin is much of a problem? Then look at the cross. Look at the blood. Look at the holy Son of God, who was indeed a great teacher, a great example, who is indeed a disciple or a teacher of love. Look at him and look at the fact that he shed his blood, he died, he gave his life for some reason. And the reason resides in our hearts. We nurse it, we protect it, we justify it, we excuse it. It's our own sin. The old hymn writer had it right. He said, ye who think of sin but lightly, nor suppose the evil great, here may view its nature rightly, here its guilt may estimate. Mark the sacrifice appointed, see who bears the awful load, 'tis the Lord. The Word, the Lord's anointed, Son of Man and Son of God. Where is the Lamb? He hangs on a tree for you and me 2,000 years ago. The Lamb suffered, but He was not alone on the cross. Did you know that? Because you and I were there. Our sin, our guilt. And this is the gospel. Our sin and God's love. Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world.